This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, we come to the manners of drinking. Drinking manners are no less important. To start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a must. So say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Likewise, use your right hand to drink. Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi majma'in related that Hafsa, our mother, bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, said Rasulullah used his right hand for eating and drinking. He used his left for other things such as personal hygiene. Do not pour your drink down your throat in one gulp. Drink it in three sips. Ibn Abbas reported that Rasulullah said, do not drink like a camel. Drink twice or thrice. Say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before drinking and say Alhamdulillah after finishing. This is such a signature of Islam that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in every single thing we do. Something as simple as eating and drinking, we begin in the name of Allah, we end with thanking Allah. This is the signature of, literally is the signature of Islam. Who is a Muslim? The one who begins everything in the name of Allah and the one who thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of everything. This is so important for us to do. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not blow or breathe into your glass, this will irritate others. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade exhaling in a glass or puffing into it. Do not drink directly from the jug or the container, a bottle or something, put it to your mouth. Besides being unhygienic, you would irritate others who want to drink after you. Abu Hurairah narrated that Rasulullah ﷺ forbade drinking directly from the mouth of the flask or the sheepskin, or in our case, from the mouth of bottles. We come to avoid overeating. Modesty is the crown of sensible people. Keep this crown on your head if invited to a feast or if you are presented with food or drink. Do not be greedy consuming food as if you have not eaten for a long time or as if you have not seen such excellent food before. Do not sample every dish on the table. People, including generous hosts, disapprove of greedy eaters. Therefore, be reasonable and moderate in enjoying the generosity of your hosts. Then we come to gold and silver cutlery. Rasulullah ﷺ forbade this. He said, do not eat using golden or silver plates or cutlery. This goes against the spirit of Islamic modesty. Pomposity is not an Islamic trait. Bukhari rahmatullahi narrated that Hudhaifa bin Yaman, one of the greatest Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ, said, Rasulullah ﷺ said, do not drink in gold or silver cups nor eat in such plates. If you are a guest, simply ask your host to replace the plate with another one, an ordinary one. Then we come to wedding manners. Wedding parties. Wedding parties are part of the Prophet's tradition. And wedding party here doesn't mean the kind of ostentatious nonsense we do. This is the walima that is done after the wedding, which is paid for by the husband, by the groom. So it is very important to understand that. For this, it is mustahab. If invited, you should accept the invitation, unless you are aware that it might include prohibited acts. So if it's an ostentatious wedding, if it's a wedding in the Indian Pakistani context, that Bangladeshi context, if it's a wedding where you know the bride, the groom is taking money from the bride as a dowry, there is a or any other kind of, if there's going to be some, music and dancing and alcohol, Allah knows best, all kinds of khurafat and all kinds of haram happens in the name of happiness. All of this, if you know that's happening, speak out against it, but don't go there. Don't go there and create a problem. Before that, say, I'm sorry, I cannot come. Don't say, I'm sorry, I cannot come because I'm not feeling well. Say, I'm sorry, I cannot come because you are not following the sunnah. Be clear about that. That way, inshallah, they will change their ways if possible. At least they would have been warned. We come again to the book. Attending a wedding is part of the sunnah, as Islam considers marriage an act of worship and obedience to Allah. Islam endorses performing marriage ceremonies in the masjid. So performing the marriage ceremony in the masjid is sunnah, and we should do that. Muslim jurists base this on a collection of hadiths. The first is reported by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. They said, announce the marriage executed in the mosques and celebrated with drums. In another hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and Al-Hakim, Rasulullah said, announce the marriage. In a third hadith reported by Ahmad, Tirmidhi and Nasai and Ibn Majah, Rahmatullah Alayhi Majma'in, Rasulullah said, the difference between a halal, lawful act and a haram, forbidden relationship is its announcement with celebrations and drums. Now, drums again is not the stuff that happens. I know Hyderabad, you listen to this stuff, so I'm telling you. The marfa that happened in Hyderabad, which is a huge nuisance, it is great sound pollution, and it is a problem, a big problem for all your neighbors and everybody else, especially because our weddings, quite contrary to the sunnah, they are very late at night, and I know people who come, the groom comes back home, he's coming to an apartment building in which there are so many other people living. They might be elderly people, they might be people who are sick, there might be a lot of non-Muslims who are living there, and the groom comes at 2 o'clock in the night, 3 o'clock in the night, with this marfa, with this band playing extremely loudly on loudspeakers. Subhanallah, I mean, it was, I had the experience once, and I tell you, I was very, very close to doing something which, may Allah protect me, subhanAllah, I don't even want to talk about it. But, you know, you feel like killing the person. It is so, so terrible. So please, don't do these kinds of things. It is haram to cause inconvenience to others. And in the name of your wedding, you don't want to do something which is haram. Now, there's no dispute among Muslim scholars that in a wedding celebration, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed women also to use drums and sing. But this refers to women in women-only enclosures or women-only rooms or something like this. It's not a license for women to do it on the street or in a mixed gathering. Attending a wedding is among the duties of brotherhood of Muslims. It fulfills the requirement of announcing and witnessing a marriage and gives us the opportunity to join our brothers and sisters as they complete their part of Islam, which is literally sort of the half of Islam. Attending the wedding also honors the husband and wife by having their relatives and friends share in their joy and happiness. It blesses them when guests pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their righteousness, success and affluence and influence, prosperity. The manner of attending weddings is the end of the chapter. If invited, attend the celebration with the intention of participating in a blessed occasion and a delightful celebration as the Rasulullah taught us. Dress appropriately for this joyous occasion. The Prophet ﷺ's companions used to dress nicely when visiting each other. If you initiate or share in a talk, make sure it fits the happy occasion and does not include depressing and distasteful subjects that spoil the occasion. Muslims must always be wise and considerate. It is recommended that you congratulate the bride and bridegroom by repeating what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said, may Allah bless you and bless your spouse, and may Allah unite you with prosperity. Do not use the common phrase with comfort and children, because this was the phrase used by the people of Jahiliyyah. Rasulullah ﷺ prohibited such a saying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his blessing replaced it by the prayer of his Prophet ﷺ. Bukhari reports radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayhi, that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, when Rasulullah ﷺ married me, my mother led me into the house where the women of Ansar were celebrating. They congratulated me and wished me prosperity, blessing and best of fortune. Islam permits women to celebrate weddings by singing joyous songs accompanied by a drum beat. Such poems and songs should not promote, the wording should be clear, it should not promote lust, lewd desire or portray physical beauty. Instead, they should sing delightful and decent songs to express their happiness with the marriage. Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha said, a bride was led to her Ansari husband. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Aisha, did you not have merriment? The Ansar love fun." He was referring to singing and beating of drums. Again, as I mentioned before, this is to be done in a women-only gathering. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi reported in his book Fath al-Bari that Aisha radiallahu anha recalled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Why did you not send with her a singing girl to sing with a drum beat?" And I said, "Sing what?" He said, "Songs sung at weddings must be decent and contain similar wholesome and seemly meanings. Songs of lust and passion and immorality should be avoided." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn manners and to teach manners to our children and to benefit from this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.